Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And for our regular listeners, you know that this is a presentation of life stories and the love letters that come from any life experience that you choose to make a love letter. Not just for romance, but for inviting people into your life, inviting them out of your life, recalling memories, sending something that just says one thing you love about someone is a good enough love letter. So today our guest is Reverend Sonia Milton, and I'm going to go right to you and ask you how you came to be Reverend Sonia Milton.
Well, first of all, I love what you said about love letters to the essence of someone, because that's really what brought me to this work. I think from a young age, I was always so just so in love with people. Just love people.
You were always aware of that?
And I was aware of it. Uh-huh. I remember being aware of it. You know, I came from a big family. Uh-huh. Extended family, the mm-hmm. aunts and the uncles, and just there was just love abounding.
That's so nice.
And I love the idea of just seeing the essence of a person. And so that led me through many different the long and winding road, I'll call it.
Well, can you start at the beginning of it?
Some of the beginning.
Tell as much as you'd like to, because it is interesting. You don't mostly it's a man's profession still, is it not? Or not so much anymore?
I don't think so much anymore. No, okay. I don't think it is. And I'm a minister at the Unity Center of San Francisco, Unity San Francisco, part of the New Thought tradition, which is Unity and religious science and some other things. So we're not really New Age, we're New Thought, which mm-hmm. came out of the 1880s, right after the Transcendentalists. It was this great idea that you could have... you can have control of your experience mm-hmm. by the way you think about it.
Oh, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just happen to be a little familiar with this, because David Friedman a presentation with us. So
sure.
He explained some of these things.
Right, and he was visiting us and doing some things at our center here in San Francisco, so that was great. Okay. Well, that's a great idea.
So how did you translate this love for people in what you wanted to do for them, and what do you want to do for them?
I want people to know how magnificent they are.
Oh, good. Me too. Yes. Letting other people shine is
right,
a wonderful thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get to do that.
Well,
that's my job.
How do you do it?
Well, I do it by being part of this incredible community where people come from all walks of life, and especially being here in the city. We have a great eclectic group. And people bring the best of themselves.
So what is a day... At Unity.
Well,
Church.
Today,
okay, so
on a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. a Sunday morning we have a service at 10 o'clock. That's the main event of the week, just meaning that's where most people come. And we sing mm-hmm. and we meditate.
And you lead this?
I lead this mm-hmm. and I talk, which I love to do.
Me too.
And we call it a lesson, not a sermon. And we sing some more and we take an offering. We get to give from our abundance to the abundance. And we eat together and drink tea and coffee together and talk and share. And we also, during the week, have classes. And
oh, so what are your classes on?
We have, right now we have an interesting class on Jesus, Myth or Truth.
Oh, there's a lot of
Isn't
that talk.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Because while Unity is based on, somewhat biblically based, mm-hmm. based on the founders of Unity, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, came from a Christian background. But I really look at Unity as interfaith, and I, as David Friedman, I was raised Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised Jewish culturally, I say, mm-hmm. not religiously. Mm-hmm. So I say I got the food and the guilt, but not the religion. But a great respect for learning. Mm-hmm. I think that might be the best thing Judaism has to offer.
So how does that upbringing translate? I mean...
How did I get from there to here?
Uh-huh.
I know, it's interesting, isn't it? Well, I grew up in the...
Well, I can see that if you have a spiritual mm-hmm. talent... And it needs to be expressed.
Somewhere.
Yes, that something could make sense to you
right.
that you didn't really get at home. And
Right. Well, I came into ministry. I was ordained right after my 42nd birthday,
and,
which was 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
which I'm
yes
saying it out loud
Why
to everyone,
not?
Which is a great thing. Before that, the work I did was something called Rolfing.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if you've heard of that.
Of course.
But so first of all, I came of age... In the 60s.
I was going to say, we're the same
generation. So there was a lot of interesting things
yes.
that I explored in many ways
and
that
you lived
I
in New York
would and
the
would
60s?
Not talk about.
Mm-hmm.
New York and Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We moved to Miami when I was a young teen. And so I had a wide range of experiences of all sorts.
Okay, so that's starting to make
sense. So I had that.
Path.
Right, okay. And eventually I came into Rolfing. And the reason I came into Rolfing, and Rolfing is a systematic way of working with the physical body to unleash holding patterns that could be anything from emotional or the result of an accident. And it's a very systematic, very brilliant way of unwrapping the layers of the musculature to get to that essence, really, but also to free up the body for greater movement, greater expression. And my experience of having Rolfing, I felt like...
You mean when it was
when it was
you.
When I went as a client, was I, and this was so clear to me the first time, was, wow, someone is touching me at the level of where I live, and nobody had been there before in a kind and gentle way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mind-blowing for me. And so coming up, you know, hippie chick makes good, because it was really a long
sure.
path for me
yeah.
from there to actually go and go to the Rolf Institute. And I actually was just at the Rolf Institute a couple of weeks ago in Boulder, Colorado, for the 40th anniversary of the Institute, invited since mm-hmm. I was an old-timer. You know, so that was a wonderful thing. With my husband, by the way, who we met through Rolfing. He was a Rolfer as well, even an older-timer than I am. So that work, when I look at that and I look at ministry and I see it as the same thing, because it's about unwrapping the layers of holding.
Okay, well, that's pay dirt for an explanation.
Exactly, to
okay.
get to the essence. And actually, I worked for many years on a one-to-one with clients.
Oh, I was going to ask you that. So do people come to you in your capacity as reverend, do they come to you with problems?
Yes, that as well.
Okay.
But I was saying I was doing so much of that as
mm-hmm.
Rolfing
mm-hmm.
that it was time to do something different. You know, as you say, so many things were not planned, and all of a sudden there I was. And the way actually we got into Unity, my husband and I, we were living in Santa Barbara,
mm-hmm.
and we rented the Unity Church as a venue for a workshop we were presenting.
On Rolfing?
No.
Oh.
On self-expression.
Okay.
And, you know, through body awareness and mm-hmm. other things. And we loved being in the physical space. It's like, oh, this is not a heavy Christian, my experience had been. You know,
so it was
problem.
Functioning as a church. And
it
you
was
were,
a...
And you were using at...
Right, we rented
for another
it for
capacity.
A weekend.
Yes, I see.
And we actually never left. That's
mm-hmm.
basically
mm-hmm.
what happened. And one thing led to another. We actually went to seminary together, my husband Hal and I. And when I look back, the kind of conscious decision, I thought I was going to go have a 2-year spiritual experience. It was sort of like going to the monastery
mm-hmm.
experience. And of course,
oh, you mean the seminary experience?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
which of course it wasn't that. It was school.
Yeah,
which is something
yeah,
different,
yeah, of course.
And a wonderful thing. So
was this odd for your parents?
For my mother, no, because my mother's an old beatnik.
Uh-huh.
You know, in fact, it was like she was a little further out than that. My father, my parents had been divorced since I was very young. My father
mm-hmm.
just didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was younger, he'd say, "Why can't you just go and be a stewardess?"
Oh my goodness.
Which is a wonderful career,
yes.
but it was just never really mine.
Right.
You know? I was always on the edge, checking out the edges, but really interested in people and loving people. And how do we love each other more?
Yes.
You know, in a grounded way, not a light and.
So how many years have you?
I've been in ministry 20 years.
Oh, you did say, yes.
And I've
said,
been at Unity your... San Francisco a little over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't planned. I went in to help out
mm-hmm.
Through a transition time for 6 months, and I'm still there. They needed me, and I needed them.
Now, what did you need them about?
I'd been out of ministry for a few years.
Oh.
I was doing some other things, and then my mother had just died.
Oh.
And, you know, that's a
mm-hmm.
big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been caring for her somewhat for a few years. And it was nice to be able to go into a situation where I had the skills and the experience to do what was needed. Now I don't know. Now I always feel I'm kind of on the edge learning something new. But at that time, I was able to come and be a stabilizing presence. And they, so again, I needed them and they needed me.
Yes,
and it
worked
out.
That's a nice thing.
Very nice thing.
So what went into your education for this?
Well, it was
at the seminary,
a 2-year seminary experience in Lee's Summit, Missouri, which is right outside of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years full-time residential.
So you study historical things and
absolutely.
Religious things
and
just a regular curriculum.
Yes, a regular curriculum.
So talk about, is this Jesus myth or reality something that's big in conversation in your group? I mean, you see ministers on late at night. My mother calls
yeah.
me. She said, I'm seeing Catholic priests on TV
yeah.
at 2 in the morning
yeah.
saying there was no Jesus.
Right.
So
right.
what is...
You know, I spoke about that this last week,
mm-hmm.
coming into obviously the season. And it's such an interesting story, the birth story. The angel comes to the virgin mm-hmm. and says, you have been impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and in 9 months you will give birth to a son, and he will mm-hmm. be the Son of the Most High. And with God, all things are possible. And by the way, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's a wonderful...
By the way.
Yeah. By the way.
So what do you make of that?
And well, so what we say, what we do in Unity is we take these stories and we look at them metaphysically. Mm-hmm. So they may have happened, they may have not happened. But we look at all of Scripture and all of story, we say metaphysically, beyond mm-hmm. the physical. Mm-hmm. So we looked at stories in the Old Testament, the New Testament, Dr. Seuss stories.
For what we can learn
from
them?
How each event, each number, each person, each character represents a state of consciousness within us. And so the virgin, mm-hmm. our virgin hearts, mm-hmm. our virgin souls, being impregnated, being pregnant with God. Oh my gosh, what does that mean?
I'd like to know.
To be pregnant with God, to be pregnant with possibilities. Mm-hmm. My sense, and again, I wasn't raised Christian, which really gave me an advantage in some ways because I didn't have things to unlearn.
Yes, yes.
All those stories are talking about a consciousness. There's a something. Mm-hmm. And how do you talk about that thing? And one of the stories I love to tell is when I was growing up, my mother would say, we never had religion, as I said, mm-hmm. but she would say, it loves to happen.
What?
It.
It.
Loves to happen. When something great had happened or a synchronistic event or, you know, I got an A+ when I hadn't done my homework or whatever it was, mm-hmm. she would say, it loves to happen. It, like it was.
And that it stuck with you?
And that it always stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I read an article that was printed in a publication some years ago about that it loves to happen and that it is that process. So God is process, not as an old man sitting up on a cloud looking down and saying yes or no to you. But this becoming, this evolving, this mm-hmm. this process that's just so huge. I was in a meditation seminar all day yesterday on the dark. Through the Guild for Psychological Studies, which is a group I love to study with. And someone said, the will of God is not the will of God if it's thought of beforehand, because it's in the moment, mm-hmm. you know, in the moment. Now, you say, what's interesting about Unity is we have people from all faiths. We have atheists and agnostics and Catholic people and people usually not who were raised in this Unity faith, so they bring all that to it. So there are people that don't even want to hear the word God and cringe. When I first went to Unity, I really couldn't deal with the word Jesus. That was hard for me from my background, even though it wasn't religious. So I mm-hmm. translated to the word love, mm-hmm. and that worked for me.
Well,
and
for a lot of people.
Exactly.
They see that as equivalent anyway, don't they?
Some do,
yeah.
And some don't. Mm-hmm. And now through my studies and my curiosity that Jesus, if he lived, mm-hmm. was a rabbi, a teacher. He never meant to start anything differently. I mean, it's a funny thing when you look at what's happened historically. And there's a great group, anybody who's interested, called the Jesus Seminar that worked for years discerning what may or may not be true in the Gospels. That's a whole other,
How would that affect Christians? If for some reason it was determined and proven that there were no Jesus ever, I mean, would there just be pandemonium?
Well, there are people that don't believe the Holocaust happened.
Right.
You know, so there's, you know, who knows? I mean, people believe what they believe.
But the Holocaust has not become a religion.
No, it has not.
For some people, maybe.
Well, for some people, people do what they do. I'm wary of any fundamental anything. I'm very, you know, on our window at Unity, it says many paths, one God. Mm-hmm. I like to say we're intra-faith, not even interfaith, but intra-faith. But anybody who's out on an edge demanding that their way is the only way, I'm wary of, and because there's room for all of us.
Now, is that different in San Francisco?
No, I don't think so. You know, this is the third church that I've served mm-hmm. as the senior minister, so it's interesting. So this thing, this event, this growing awareness, people didn't know how to talk about it, so they wrote these stories. That's what I believe.
Oh, I see.
That's what I believe the stories in the Bible are, the mm-hmm. stories of Genesis. If you try to read the Bible, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a lot of sense, especially since the first and second chapter of Genesis are two different creation stories. They're side by side, written by two different writers. Once you understand that, it makes a little more sense.
How does that make more sense? And what's the second creation story?
Well, one is, now you're going to get me because I'm not really up to date.
Oh,
no, okay.
I'm sorry,
I'm feeling more. But one talks about Adam and Eve.
Right.
And one talks about Let There Be Light in the 7 days. And, you know, so they just start in different places.
I see.
And so it can be confusing.
So it's not
if you
like
try
creation with
it.
A different
No. The same cast of characters we have here. And it was, you know, different people writing stories at different times. And if I was to tell you something and you tell the neighbor, by the time it got down the street,
a
story. Of course we do. In the Gospels, the first, the Gospel of Mark, the very first one, wasn't even written until the year 70.
Okay, so that's interesting because
it's
these people had not met him.
No.
So how did they come to this, do you think?
Something happened.
Mm-hmm.
Something miraculous happened. Somebody, I do believe that somebody lived who had a miraculous experience who shared that. But there was a group of people and something happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure
and
what.
At this point, it doesn't matter really the historical.
No. And that could be a whole other interview because there's a lot of very interesting information about that. And I personally find that fascinating.
Well, can you tell a little bit about
A little
it?
Bit. Well, what the Jesus Seminar did, and this is a group of biblical scholars, they met in Santa Rosa over a period of 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they took every line in the three Gospels, mm-hmm. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because they're from the same source. They're called synoptic, which means the same. And then there's John. And they took every line and voted with colored marbles. So a red marble would mean absolutely, I believe Jesus said that this actually happened.
Uh-huh.
There was a pink marble, a gray marble, and a black marble. And, you know, even Thomas Jefferson did the same thing. He cut up his Bible to have it make more sense to him, which isn't that different from what the Jesus Seminar people came up with. So you could go
what were the marbles for?
Oh, for voting. I'm sorry.
But
for
on
voting.
What?
On each line, how authentic it was. Whether this was something that this man Jesus actually did. Well, from their scholarly...
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, for instance, the gospel writer Matthew,
mm-hmm.
he was appealing to... Because the reason they were writing this was to get people, you know,
sure.
get the people to
sure.
join. It was the blog. So Matthew was a...
Outreach is
was
always
it, was a Jewish writer. Mm-hmm. So he tried to show that Jesus came from this great lineage of Jewish prophets and
mm-hmm.
teachers. And he came in that
David
way.
David. Yeah,
yes. In fact, he had Jesus coming from the lineage of King David. However, it was through Joseph, not through his mother. So if this was truly a virgin, I mean, if you look, this is one of those silly discrepancies.
Yeah.
The lineage comes through Joseph, but if she was, it was a virgin birth.
Mm-hmm.
So they would vote line by line. Luke was the physician. He was Greek. He was trying to appeal to a Gentile audience. So he was a little more scholarly and not so, you know, gut to gut, heart to heart. Mark was the first one written, they found. So both Luke and Matthew garnered material from Mark. There's a whole lot of information on this. There are simple books you can read, and there's some more complicated. I think it's fascinating. I'm a little rusty on it. I haven't been looking at that lately.
Just as
it's so interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
So they voted. So you can actually buy a book on the Gospels
mm-hmm.
by Robert Funk and actually see in color. They've put the colors in the book. And so when you take away all the extraneous stuff, you really see brilliant teachings. The virgin story is only in one.
Most
religions have virgin stories.
Yes.
And that's important.
And that's,
so you need to hear
issue.
That in order to be able
that's
to
That's because so
believe.
Many cultures have the same stories. They all have flood stories.
Floods and virgin
and they,
births
mm-hmm.
and miracles and
mm-hmm.
healings. And you know, for me, it makes it all richer. It doesn't throw it away. It's like, this is such a rich historical document.
Okay, so you don't have the need to say.
I do not have the need. It happened or didn't happen.
Well, more than that, it seems to me, you don't, which I think is lovely, you don't have the need to say, I'm right, this is the way it was.
Oh, no.
Because if you're saying you like that it happened to all different cultures,
yes,
that
yes.
is kind of a world grab, isn't it?
So what I say is take what you can use and throw away the rest. But
mm-hmm.
if you can come and listen or be in our community, however, and look back and see what you believe and
mm-hmm.
why you believe it.
So
and maybe dismantle that and be willing and open to believe something new and see what your belief is.
Oh, well, wouldn't that be nice? Being willing and open to seeing something new
would
dismantle put the world right.
That structure.
Yes.
I
mean,
knowing.
In general.
Yes, of course.
So what about miracles?
Oh. I don't think about miracles.
I do.
Do you?
Yes.
I think I expect them.
Well, I think everything is one.
It
more
is.
More than that, you know, you
that synchronicity, that divine synchronicity.
Yes. I mean, with the parting of the Red Sea, for example.
Right. If it happened.
If it happened.
Right.
And people say very often, well, it wasn't really a miracle. It was just low tide. Now, I ask, if you're being chased by someone who is pledged to your death and doom.
And it's low tide.
And it's low tide.
That's a freaking miracle.
Somebody told me a fabulous story the other day, and I think about it and I start laughing in the middle of nothing. It was about a man in San Francisco who was looking for a parking space, mm-hmm. which is, you may or may not
yes,
know.
Yes, I understand.
It's just,
that's
thankless labor and yes. very anxiety producing. And
I've
looked
experienced
up
that.
Toward God and said, God, please, just, if I could only find, if you could get me a parking space, I promise I will be better, I will be more
yes.
observant, and I will keep all the laws, and I will give
yes.
charity, and please, God, I need a parking
yes.
space, this is important. I've got, and he goes on and on and lists all the things he will do if only God will help him find a parking space. And suddenly, right in front of him, there's a parking space, and he looks up and he says, oh, never mind, I found one.
Yes.
And that is...
That's like the man in the flood, you know, who's looking at the boat, you know.
Oh, yes, yes,
you know,
yes,
that
right.
One.
There's
yeah,
so many ways you turn away
something.
From miracles.
When it's all, you know, I just have this, it's one vibrating,
oh,
moving something that we're all a part of. And when we're in tune and doing what we're supposed to be doing our practice, taking care of ourselves, being kind, you know, we're in that flow.
Yeah.
And then when things happen that we don't like so much, we get to look at it and go, what was my part in this? And how do I use this as a blessing? Original Blessing, Matthew Fox wrote the book, instead of Original Sin.
How nice.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're all on the same ship.
We're all on
the... And so the way you're talking about it is we're all keeping... If we're together, we're all keeping yeah. the ship afloat.
Do you remember the Firesign Theater? That was a wonderful...
Yes.
Comment.
What was that?
Well, they would say we're all bozos on the same bus. I like that.
Something like that. Okay,
yeah.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
So given the path... You've taken.
Yes.
And I mean, I wish this were a television moment.
It's chosen me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what they say about a lot of things, actually.
Yeah, about being called, about
yes.
a call.
Yeah. You know? So who would get your love letter right now if you were
right,
to write one? And I hope
right,
you go home
yeah,
and do it.
Well, right now on my heart, mm-hmm. I have several people in my life who've lost people that they love in the mm-hmm. last month.
Oh.
And, and when I was thinking about who I would do that, it was to them. To remind them of who they are, regardless of the grief they're in right now.
How would you? Because that reminding people of who they are is a
yeah.
lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a love letter, so you would
yeah.
be looking at their best qualities.
Yes, their best qualities, and how the people that they've lost added to those qualities, and that
May
the experience.
I ask how many people you're having in mind here?
I'm having four in mind right
okay.
now. So in my.
So you could
in my
write
work
four
life,
letters.
I could.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely could.
Oh, and as a spiritual leader, I'm sure you do.
Well, I do, exactly.
Yeah.
And some of it was timely and expected, and one was not, you know, was a surprise.
So do you write letters to your congregants?
I do.
Uh-huh.
I do.
So
not as often as I used to. I send more emails,
oh,
which is not as much fun, is it?
No. Well, I love
email. Oh, thank
email.
You. Slap my hand.
No, I really...
Email, I love email.
I mean, I've been without internet access for... 4 days now, and I'm close to being institutionalized.
I am at Unity. I couldn't believe it.
I mean,
that
you get
I couldn't
to,
get on
because
this
it's a miracle.
It
email.
Is a miracle.
Talk about miracles.
It's wonderful.
It's
but
exciting.
I also like to write those letters.
Yes. When you send an email, let me just say for the 700th time, because
yeah.
I do say this a lot, is you're not sent when you send a letter, you're sending something that has felt the touch of your hand,
yes.
and
yes.
then the other person. Gets
yeah.
it, and will probably...
That makes it a love letter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Will probably hold it to his or her
yeah.
chest, or look at it and keep it. And a
yeah.
letter from a person in a high position
mm.
is a real treasure.
Yeah. Something.
So what would you say, I mean,
what
to
I
each of these four people?
Say is,
what's just right. as an example for people, what's beautiful and valuable about each one of these people?
Without, you know, naming names or anything, is an open, loving heart,
mm-hmm.
an incredible curiosity and creativity, and the way that they have loved the person who's passed over, that incredible love and commitment to them. And what I know from my own experience personally and from my work is that having someone close to you die is one of the greatest gifts you can ever have.
Oh, really? Now tell me
an incredible gift.
In what way?
Well, because it's grief, and
mm-hmm.
grief is a condition, and it lasts however long. That's what I love about having, in the Jewish religion, having an unveiling.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person has died, it's 9 months to a year, and then you go to the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
and put the stone down. Mm-hmm. So everyone gets to come together out of that immediate grief. So I say that 9 months a year is one of the most precious times of your life, because you become somebody anew. You become more of who you are. If you believe in angels, I don't think that way, but you know,
yeah.
Those people are angels. And I say that, and it's funny because I actually can feel my mother and my two aunts and my cousin over my left shoulder.
How nice.
As my angels. I do. Yes, I just feel them that way. And them being alive and them being gone is an incredible gift.
I thought you were going to say something slightly different. I thought you were going to talk about the gift, if you can see it that way, which is hard when you're so sad.
When you're in it, yeah.
But the gift of seeing somebody beautifully and lovingly out of this life.
Yes.
You know, we pay a lot of attention to bringing life into the world.
Yes.
And celebrate. And we don't, I don't think in general, see the importance of seeing somebody. Well, I shouldn't say that, because there are tons of people and professions that do.
And I find that of great interest. And I was actually involved in that for my work when I was detoured to come to the church.
Hospice kind of thing, you mean? Or?
No, more of spiritual, we were calling it spiritual midwifery for the dying. So really the last 4 or 5 days being with people at that very precious letting go.
I was going to ask you that with that letting go.
Yeah.
So do you encourage people to let go comfortably?
It's more like what I do is I encourage them to tell me if they're verbal about what they believe, because then I can use that to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really believe in Jesus and you're feeling a flood, I can talk about the healing waters of you know. So it depends on what your belief is, and then working with that to assist them in letting go.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't just say just let go. Yes.
Important.
But it's also not always appropriate to say just let go.
I would think
not.
Right.
So it's like,
why would you let go unless you have something else to
So
hold
it's
on
tuning
to.
Into them. And I had the profound honor of being with my mother when she died.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was her birth into something else.
That's what exactly how I
and
see
I
it.
And I have chills just now telling
yes.
you that.
Well,
but I saw that so clearly.
I had an aunt.
That it was a celebration.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
That's so interesting. I had an aunt
yeah.
who, 5 minutes before she passed on, was actually, because of the chemotherapy,
yeah.
she had lost all her hair.
Uh-huh.
And she was curled up in a fetal
yeah.
position. And she had very beautiful, huge eyes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she was a beautiful woman. And what you could still see closed, the big eyes. And she looked like something ready to be born.
Yes.
Not dying.
Yes.
And I was struck by that then.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much for doing
yes.
this with me. I wish we could just talk for a long time. I'm so happy to have met
maybe
you.
Maybe another time.
So I
yes.
hope that you will write those 4 love
yes.
letters.
Yes, thank you.
Because 4 letters, that's not so much. And also love letters
don't
is
have
a way
to do
of
them
life.
Today.
That's right.
And I can wait till my internet's back on, because it's not on either.
Well, then do it now
right,
so that you can't
know.
Use it. Right.
Can I invite people to Unity?
Oh, please.
Yes,
of course. You do that.
That we're at 2222 Bush Street, which is right off of Fillmore. It's very easy to get to in the heart of the Fillmore District, so it's a fun neighborhood, on Sundays at 10 a.m. We also have classes on Mondays at 6:30. Wednesdays at 6:30, we have a yoga class. And then we have various other events and workshops.
Do you have a website?
We do, www.unitysf.com.
www.unitysf.com. Of like the
right.
Andrews sisters, we're doing this.
Exactly.
Well, because if you're one letter off, you're finished.
It is, but we have great events. We
Thank
have an
you
inter-
for
the, yes, we have Into the Silence, which is a 5-hour meditation day to bring in the solstice on. I think it's in
it
a couple
really
of weeks.
Sounds really interesting.
We have good stuff all the time, lots of great fellowship,
okay,
lots
well,
of love, and lots of questions and answers.
Good. Let's stay in touch.
Okay.
And when you have something else to share
yes.
and another story to tell, come back.
I'd love it. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Thank
so
you,
meanwhile, this is Janet Gowling saying goodbye for now, and I'll be talking to you very soon.